You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner for microcredit, and Dr. Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to speak with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada, a leading provider of annual general meeting technology. Andre, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Moore.
And this is for across the country. I think all of us are jealous of your name, Andre Sankmars. On general principle, that's just a very cool name. So where does the name come from?
Well, actually, we were called VO about 5 generations ago. So the name changed, and for a reason, we were never able to know the real story behind the scene. So, but the name is cool, actually. You're right. When I was younger, it used to be not a burden, but young kid at school were always telling me, things about my name, so it was like a bad thing. But now that we're in business, having the name of Sankmars is quite cool because everybody will remind about you.
So it's 5 and the planet, presumably.
Well, yes, it's 5 in the month.
But you're not okay. That could be, so you're not necessarily from Mars.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, well, that would have been a
normal
much more interesting interview if you've been from Mars. But I don't speak Martian on reflection. So Andre, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up, and what was your family up to?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Montreal, actually. I came from the Ansic neighborhood. I was born on the plateau, but early in my life, we moved to Ansic. And I spent most of my youth in there. My parents, actually, we were pretty, I would say, normal people. My father was working at the grocery store. And my mother, like many others' family, she stayed home to raise their children. And she did a good job.
How many siblings do you have?
I have just one brother.
Okay. Yeah. Younger or older?
Younger.
Okay. So I'm just curious, what does your brother do?
My brother actually is an accountant. Well, he does the financial analysis for a large company in Montreal.
Okay. Yeah. So quite a different, you're more on the creative side. He's more on the sober, reflective side, if you would.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're quite different.
Okay. Well, there you are. When you were growing up, what did you want to do when you were growing up?
It's going to sound funny. I wanted to be a race car driver. I always enjoyed the race, the car racing. One of my idols was Gilles Villeneuve when I was young. And it's something I wanted to do. And very young, I started working, raising money to actually go to Jim Russell School at Mont-Tremblant. But unfortunately, since I was very young and I needed to have the permission from my parents, well, they declined the opportunity that I had, although I never asked for any money. But of course, they wanted me to stay alive, I guess.
Well, it turns out I fought Melanie Villeneuve 3 times on the NBA. So Jacques' sister and Gilles' daughter. Mm-hmm. So it's a small world. So Jacques, but maybe it helps if your father is the number one race car driver in the world, might be helpful in the process as well.
It does.
So clearly you're a leader today, no question about it, Andre. Mm-hmm. When did you first see yourself as potentially a leader? Was it back in high school or later on in life?
No, actually it's funny because when you get to grow older, you reminisce about what you've done in life, right? And it came early at school, 5th, 6th grade. I mean, I was the person that was helping the youngster try to cross the street, make sure that everything was going well not in the classroom, but during the recreation. So I was already overviewing a group and trying to make sure that everything was okay. I did play hockey also from a young age. And I was always like a captain or an assistant in the team, trying to bring the others to be better and make the team really like solidify together so we can do something and compete against the others.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. So I will read a lot into this as Canadians. What position did you play?
Every position except goalie.
So you could be said indecisive or flexible. It could be different ways of looking at that.
I like to see it as flexible.
Okay, we'll take it as flexible. It's funny because Lena Saputo plays goalie. And, you know, a billionaire plays goalie. And, you know, I interviewed Ken Dryden, who was one of our great goalies. And Ken said it was often an introvert would play goalie because half the game, you're not doing anything. You're watching. And you don't go talk to the other guys on the bench. You know, you watch the Canadians. The guys are talking to each other. And, you know. So it's interesting. But Lena Saputo said, well, when I was 10, the goalie was sick. And they asked for a volunteer. And I volunteered. And he became a goalie. And it was just no big thing. But I think, you know, it's interesting because I'm a forward where defense, well, I'm incompetent, but I don't, like, I'd rather be trying to score. But so you're, I mean, it's interesting because you can be defense and forward same game even.
I could be. Whenever it was required, I would just go there and do what the coach was asking to do.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a great person to have. Just someone who will be, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it.
Well,
within reason, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Fascinating. So, have you always been interested in innovative technology? Because that's the thing you're doing now.
Not really. Okay. It came up when I moved to the meeting industry. I started working in there, I had the chance to play, I would say, with toys, which were electronics, projectors, sound system, lighting, consoles. So this is where it really ignited the fire in me, having the chance to play with all these things and create stuff that other people can't. I mean, basically, we were taking a room with nothing in it and creating an environment where CEO would come deliver a message that could be to boost his team or something like this. So it is very important. And actually, the client were giving this task to people that were like 20 years old. So yeah. It was a great task to take to make some sure everything was fine with this.
Andre, after high school, you didn't go on to CEGEP, junior college or university. What did you decide to do after high school?
Well, I went to Institut Técart to get a degree in electronics.
Okay.
That was the first thing. And then I became a freelancer. So it was just, for me, learning was really on the ground, making sure that you were in the action. It's always been like this.
So more by the doing than just studying or reading a book?
Absolutely. Well, reading, I do love reading, though.
No, but you know what I mean? Like,
well, of course.
Okay. Andre, prior to joining Lumi Canada, you founded your own highly successful company, Feedback Interactive, which was acquired by Lumi. Tell us about Feedback Interactive. What did it do and how did you get it? Were you the founder?
Absolutely. I was the founder. It was in 1996. Actually, we followed the same path as Lumi. So getting together at one point was a natural thing. In early 2000, I mean, we started making the AGMs for a large financial cooperative in Montreal, well, in Quebec, actually. And we became the sole provider of the system. And it had created a reputation for us. We created an expertise also. So from there, we were able to do many, many organizations. Not really issuers, because the issuer world is very different. And this is what brought me to speak with Lumi people, because they were the sole provider of the technology at one point. So by getting to speak with them, I became the ambassador of the brand in Quebec for the French market. And then, well, one thing led to another. And then in 2018, we decided to join both companies together. And I was in charge of the Canadian market.
You're listening to the CEO Series. And today we're in Montreal speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. So as you were the founder, the entrepreneur, how did you come up with the idea? Like, was there a moment?
Well, actually, as I said, I was working as a freelancer and I was a technical director, and I went up to a company that I was working with. And I said, you know what? I think that there are things that we can do in the meeting industry that you will, as an AV provider, never do. And we decided to just have a meeting together, talk. And what came up is, you know what? This year, at the time, we had requests for voting system. They want to have interaction. And I really thought that that would be a new trend in the industry, but I have to be honest. I thought it would last about maybe 5 years, 10 if we, but in the best circumstances. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? As far as we got into the process, 5 years was better. 10 years was even better. 15 years, it was sky high. And then Lumi came. And what we see now is just the suite that I could never have written, for sure.
So is the heart of an entrepreneur different than the corporate type? I've always been a corporate type, I got to tell you. But the entrepreneur, the mind, the heart, how is it different than the big company person like me?
That would be hard, maybe for me to say. I don't have that experience. Yeah, I've always been an entrepreneur at some point, a freelancer. I mean, I was still working for myself. Sure. But what I can see in the Lumi group, we have 11 branches, and I'm one that is not coming out of the group. That's not what I mean. But I have the entrepreneurial thinking behind it. And we came up with an idea that will see the light actually in a few months. And it was really an idea that took Lumi off what they used to do, but they still decided to move forward with the project because they thought it was the next step for them.
So you are the man, you're the entrepreneur, you're the center of the universe. When you run your own small company, okay, it's a small company, that's not carried
Thank
away,
you.
But how do you, now you have a boss.
Yeah.
How do you put up with a boss? Does it help that they're in another country? But how do you deal with having a boss now? Because you didn't for years.
Well, actually, that was part of the decision when I decided to join Lumi. Richard Taylor, the CEO at Lumi, is an incredible person. Very human. He runs a people-driven business. It's more what's your thinking, and you know what you know about your market. So if it makes sense, just go ahead and do it. This is one of his one of the things that I really liked about. So yes, he's my boss, but at the same time, it's not really my boss. I see it as a colleague where we work together to try to make the most out of the market that we are in, providing very good service.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director at Lumi. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about what Lumi does and how their product works.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. Andre, what is Lumi? How'd you come up with the name, and what do they do?
Well, the name came up way before I was implicated in the with the company. But Lumi is a company that was born in 1991 from people that oversee that the interactivity, meaning implicating people from an audience with the management team, would be the future. So they created a voting system, so there was an exchange that could be made.
Yeah.
Quite quickly, it became obvious that that would be popular. And there is a company that came in, they are a transfer agent, and they did ask to build a software so they could provide the technology into the meeting for the issuers across the globe. This is where Lumi really saw the light, meaning that they have built that software, which is very strong and is, to me, of course, the best that there is today.
Where is headquarters?
UK.
United and how many employees are they be around the world?
Well, today we're close to 150.
Okay. And so that was an early view of what it helps, annual general meetings, voting, shareholders voting, that sort of thing is a central part of what you do. Is there things beyond AGMs you've been getting into during the pandemic? Have you expanded out into other markets?
Well, no. We've expanded within our home market.
Okay.
Meaning that before, I mean, the technology. First, you needed to have the budget. And an AGM is kind of a beast by itself, meaning people are really conservative in the way they do it. If it had worked before, don't change anything. Our image is at stake and our CEO is at stake. So let's keep it that way. Pandemic really, I would say, cut their leg off, meaning they just found out from one day to the other they didn't know how to do it. So we were the resources where they all came to and say, please help, we need to do this virtually only. And this is where we really expanded.
So the COVID, you're one of the businesses like Amazon that actually prospered because of what you do.
Yes, we fell on the right side of the fence, I would say. Okay. It's not something I really bragged about early in the pandemic because I saw all of my colleagues in the meeting industry falling down for sure. But it did. I mean, we really expanded. All of the large issuer in Canada came to Lumi asking for a solution.
So as we come out of the pandemic, we hope people are starting to travel more, do things more. Is there going to be a permanent change, do you think, to AGMs? Is that your sense of the marketplace?
Yeah, it's very interesting the way we see it and what we are hearing from those clients. At first, you do it 1 year. They say it's just for the moment. It just meantime of the COVID. But then we got to a second year, 2021. And now it's more usual. And then we got to 2022. We're going to do the third year in a row. And it's becoming obvious that the hybrid meeting, the hybrid model, I mean, will be the next model that will be adopted in those kinds of meetings. It's not for every meeting, but in the AGM industry, I mean, you are allowing people in BC to speak at a meeting in Toronto on a Tuesday morning at 9:30. That would be impossible if it was just in a room. So shareholder group, even though at first they were reluctant of using the virtual model, thinking that the rights would be, how can I say, they will not have the right to speak and express as if they were at an in-room meeting. Well, they get to understand that it was the other way around. They will have the ability to attend maybe two or three meetings, depending on the timing in one day. So it is a plus for them. It does open, I would say, the democracy for everybody to attend, ask questions in a meeting.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Montreal speaking with André Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. But as a senior manager, I might be slightly nervous about activist shareholders, more pressure than in the past, which from a democratic viewpoint is good. But on the other hand, it might be irritating.
Yeah.
From a senior management viewpoint. So you can argue both ways.
Well, this again is very, very interesting. We're going through great times because people are questioning themselves about what they will do. And this week we did one meeting with a large issuer, and they were scared about the activists, but they decided to open the floor to everybody that was attending the meeting. There was 900 people on the platform, which you would never have had for an in-room meeting. And we had three chief from Aboriginal people from Alberta and BC, and that meeting was in Toronto, that were able to speak freely about what they thought for the environment, the carbon footprint, and what they were doing to their territories out there. So it was really, really interesting. And although they were, of course, activists, it's always a possibility when you are opening the floor. But I mean, at the same time, CEO, they get paid to answer difficult questions sometimes.
And in some ways, it's good feedback for them to hear, in this case, Indigenous people reflecting on their needs of their communities. So it's an advance in that way. So maybe CEOs should just grow up and accept that this is part of the world we live in, and it's actually useful, and it's better moments anyway. I remember with fondness giving speeches, you know, in front of thousands of people. And I gave one at C2 last year, Montreal here, and it's something about exciting about thousands of people in the meeting room. But we're never going to go back to that in a sense. And I've been to AGMs like Bombardier and CAE where there's a certain amount of being there is very exciting. But has the world just moved on? I mean, do you miss meetings and being there in person?
Absolutely, for sure. And there are people out there that they do want to gather together, have that social exchange with other people. That's why the hybrid model is something that will definitely come to be used in the future. And actually, we are preparing for this at Lumi by creating a venue where people will be able to have that experience.
But it's something where it may be, you know, if you live in Montreal or wherever the meeting is, that you might show up. But for someone from BC, it saves them a lot of time, a lot of money, and environmentally is better as well. Mm-hmm. So, and gives them the flexibility, as you pointed out, to go to more meetings than they in the past. How about your friends in the meeting industry, you know, where they bring conferences to Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver? What's their future? Do you have any thoughts on that, where that may be going?
Their future is great because what we can see, we need to be careful. There are different types of meetings. Anything that is AGM or IR investors relation related, I mean, to be able to gather people in a room and have people come from a remote location, it's perfect because you are there to attract, you're there to inform, which is different. A conference, you are there to create something.
Yeah.
It's still information that you want to share, but you're creating something. So you need that closeness with the people.
Yeah.
And this is where, in my opinion, that's not a good concept to do a hybrid meeting. Unless you still want to share the speech from the conference, the person that's speaking on the web. Could they interact? Of course. But is it the best way to do it? I mean, it's different. It will be for people that really understand the technology and feel comfortable about it. But still, I believe I would be the first one to go to a conference if I was able to.
People talk about being zoomed out. And there's something about, as a speaker, like I've given talks around the world, and the great news is I can be Africa in the morning and South America in the afternoon, which I physically couldn't. But I'd rather be there and feel the energy of the crowd and feel and talk to people afterwards. And there's just something about that. Maybe it's being an extrovert as part of it, but I draw the energy from it. Is a speaker more powerful in person than on Zoom?
In person. Again, it's an opinion. I'm not in the other person's shoes.
No, for
but me. In person, you create something.
Yeah.
Again, there's the closeness with the people. There's something that you will create, which you will never have when you're in front of your computer. Let's face it.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director at Lumi. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about Andre's history as an entrepreneur and what he's learned about leadership.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today in Montreal with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. You'd also founded RhinoCharge, which offers high-capacity wireless charging station.
Yes.
So tell us about RhinoCharge.
Well, RhinoCharge, it's an idea that came up about, I think it was 2015. I'm not alone in that venture. It came up because when we were delivering the technology for some meeting, people were coming more and more with an application. Actually, we were providing with feedback, we were providing an application. So people had to use tablets and phones. But after 5 hours, it's like 1 o'clock, people don't have batteries anymore. Yeah. So what do? They go look for a AC power on the side of the wall, or they go outside the room, but you cannot participate anymore. So it's not good. So we decided to create the RhinoCharge. It's 8 USB port for 8 people on a round table. So they can connect to their own port and have power for all the day and participate in the meeting. So it started like this. Now, of course, with COVID, that company went down a bit. we're seeing a surge now because every meeting are restarting. So we can see that it's going up again, but there's a long way to go.
You know, looking at it seems obvious in retrospect, looking back. But in our new classrooms, every place has a plug because the old classrooms, they designed them before laptops where no one had to plug in anything. Exactly. Where today I go, where do I plug in? So that I don't run out.
Yeah.
And so something we're just looking at, it's just an obvious idea. But at the time, it wasn't obvious to many people, but it was to you because you have that mind of the entrepreneur. But you must have a lot of ideas that die out. I mean, do you have ideas all the time on new things?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we're trying to keep within what we do best.
Okay.
Going left and right, trying things is... If it makes sense, why not? Like the RhinoCharge adventure was something that seemed very obvious. Now, thinking about it, what we see happening now is we thought we were in advance of our time with that product. Still to be seen. Maybe in another interview.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I mean, within the mining industry, the technology that we have, and especially with that product that we have at Lumi now, I mean, we're, even though we can innovate, like with the studio that are coming on the production that we can do, we're staying within what we
know. So it's your, in the language of strategy, it's your core competence, your capabilities, what you're world class at. It's kind of, that's the base that we go from, rather than doing something totally, we just have no idea.
Exactly.
So that's, I'm doing a research with McKinsey looking at a startup grows to a certain size and you bring in a corporate type. So the question is, when do you bring in a corporate type? Who do you bring in and how do you keep them? Have you ever had to bring in a corporate type?
Well, not yet. These are things that we're looking at. We are three people in Rhino Charge, so yeah. It's up for discussion, I would say. It is an option, but we're not there yet.
Still early days.
Yeah, it's okay. Still early.
That's fair enough. One of the things we look at, you're clearly a leader. One of the things we're looking at is for authentic leadership. So Andre, what is authentic leadership to you?
Authentic leadership would be, the way I see CEO at Lumi, myself with my group, would be to just preach by experience first and give back to the people, meaning that you need to implicate them. They should be part of any conversation, decision that you will make. Help them, making them better at what they do by sharing what you can share and making the whole group together as a team.
You've gone through an enormous number of AGMs. What advice would you have to a CEO to make a better AGM? What makes a great AGM in today's world?
To my opinion, definitely to have an openness to let people participate in the meeting. We can go around how it's working in an AGM with the platform, and it could take a few minutes, but yeah, openness, like I said a bit earlier, having people, making them express themselves in the AGM, especially if you are using a virtual portion of the meeting.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Montreal speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. So it's interesting because I just finished a book on Zs, Generation Z, and I teach them and they work with me. They're less hierarchical, more of they want to know why, and they don't accept authority in the way that, as a boomer, you as an Xer grew up with. And it seems like CEOs are the authority, but they've got to let go a bit of that and have a conversation. So it very fits with the Zs of the world, the Generation Z, in terms of the approach you're thinking about. It's more open, less hierarchical, more let's learn from each other.
It's a good question. It always depends how people are seeing it. In my opinion, again, yes, this is where we are at. People, they want to have a voice. They want to participate. They want, like you say, more of a conversation than just hearing authorities. And we can see this, day in, day out in many articles.
In 2021 alone, Lumi helped transform over 4,000 meetings in 40 different markets worldwide. Are industries different at all in terms of AGMs?
They are. We have two categories. You have the AGM, we call it, which is the issuer's normal AGM, and we have the AGM-like. These AGMs are for organizations like union, a nonprofit organization. Okay. They are quite different because they need the requirement for the knowledge, the expertise is greater, meaning you need to know about the Robert's Rule, about how it works, how an AGM works. It will often last 2-3 days, maybe even 4.
Okay.
It's long days, meaning starting at 8, finishing at 5. And there are lots of things that you need to do that you will not in a normal AGM issuers meeting. But again, Lumi has done this forever, I would say. So it's something that even though the big difference in the pandemic was that we got to, there was it's the volume that did change, the amount of meeting that we had to deliver. A short period of time. For the rest, it's something that we knew. Now, of course, with adding new staff, we had to train them. We shared the expertise that we had. There were processes also that changed in the way we did things. But in the end, it looks to be working perfectly well.
How is Vespa's capital, recent recapitalization of Lumi, going to drive the company's growth? How is that helpful?
Well, it is very helpful because now we have a financial backup to help us achieve things that we wanted to do that for us is the obvious for what will be next. The best example is the studio. We are actually building in Calgary and Montreal two studios. They call the Lumi Experience. They are hybrid venues where you will be able to you have your lounge, your meeting room, boardroom, press room. Everything is to make it as simple as possible for the client. And also, being in the downtown of big cities, the third one, by the way, will be in Toronto, we are allowing people to attend by using public transportation, making it very easy if they want to attend. But we are providing the all-in-one technology. So you just come there, you listen to the meeting, you participate with an electronic meeting, and then we give the end result. It is opening, again, the floor. The goal is to open the floor to as many people as possible, as long as the client follows, of course.
We're speaking with Andre Saint-Mars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. Up next, we'll hear more about Andre's life outside of work. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Andre Saint-Mars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada, a company that helps deliver virtual AGMs, annual general meetings, in Canada and indeed around the world. Andre, are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
Extrovert.
You seem pretty confident about that.
Yeah.
Now, as a senior, as a leader, you've got to, I would argue, you've got to act like an introvert and be and shut up and listen sometimes.
Absolutely. But my personality surrounding people is always to, I often go to people, want to know about them, just starting a conversation, starting something, and see what will come out of it.
Okay. And it's your hardwiring, just the way you are.
It has been the way I was since a long time ago.
And your English is very good, but French is your mother tongue.
Of course, yes.
So you dream in French.
I dream in French.
How did you improve your English?
Well, actually, I taken course a few years ago because I found out when I joined the Lumi group and I went to the first management meeting, it wasn't that good. I wasn't that confident about it. The first thing I did when I came back from the UK, I just went to the University of Montreal, book a night course, and I spent some time on the chair, going back to the root of the English. Now, of course, when the pandemic hit, I had to do about 15 meetings per day with mostly English companies. So you get to learn quickly how to speak English, reading book, listening to television and all that. It did help.
Are you a bit different person in English than French?
I guess I would be a little bit, to be honest, because the confidence might not be the same. Need to be careful. Listen more carefully. Make sure that I did truly understand a question or a statement or a comment.
So you have a good sense of humor, but in French, you're a little bit wittier. Like plays on words and
of course. There's a facility in French that is not there yet in English, but give me some time, it will be there.
What have you learned about being productive working from home?
Well, that's funny too. In 2008, I started working from home. I had an office in Boucherville, but I decided to go back home because I was a single parent, my daughter, and I could see that the time spent with her was not of great quality. So I decided to make some sacrifice, leave the team and go back home, create my own office in my house. And actually, up until 2019, where we opened the office for Lumi, and then pandemic hit, and I got to go work at the office because I had my daughter that is now at the university. She was having her course. We were two on the internet. There was too much noise, the dog, the cat, and everything. So I decided to go to the office where I was alone. So it's kind of funny because when everybody went to their home to work, well, I went to the office to work.
So what's your daughter studying?
She's actually in a education, physical education, working with, she wants to bring teams, sports team, to another level. Actually, she's a coach in fast pitch. She does play for the GGs, the Ottawa GGs.
Oh, okay.
She's coaching two teams, actually. And she, well, that's it. She works also part-time at a company that sells sports equipment, guess what, to all the organization from the university.
So as her dad, was this, can you see yourself in her a bit, or certainly you see her as a girl becoming a young woman, you saw some of these things occurring. Did you nudge her a bit, or is it more just her?
No, not really. Honestly, with my daughter, I just said to her, do whatever you are comfortable with, that you love doing, and the rest should follow. It was that for sport, even for schools. I mean, I did tell her that going to school is a very good thing, but she took it on her to continue into her study and go to the university.
You're listening to the CO Series, and today we're in Montreal speaking with Andre Sankmars, Managing Director of Lumi Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
How do you keep in shape? You appear to be in fairly good shape.
Well, thank you.
You go to the gym, or like, what do you do?
No, I can't go to a gym for a reason I can't understand. But no, I do play tennis, and I play tennis quite a lot. I have to, because that's what is keeping me sane in this very, very busy time.
I guess tennis, the nice thing is you're so far apart. Like even during COVID, there was a bit more flexible than playing a sport like hockey, where you're, you know, it's more intense.
Of course.
Or you're closer to
the person. And when you want to get into your own world, I mean, your opponent is 90 feet away from you.
So. Yeah, so it's pretty safe.
It's great.
What book are you reading right now?
Hey, it's funny. I'm reading Good to Great, which is not a new book. But it's a very good book. I get to really like it. I get to learn about some concept, and what's great about it is I can see that Lumi is part in what we can read in that book. Actually, I read Good to Great and The Tipping Point lately, which are two good books for where we are at now in our adventure with the business.
What book will you write? I see. I bet there's a book inside of you. What would it be about?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Probably about having the chance to do something, even though you haven't attained. Like in my case, I mean, the position that I have and what I do, I'm really grateful to life, because I never get to go at higher level of school and learn about those concepts. I did learn everything about by doing it, by making mistakes, learning from it, and. Maybe that would be a good story at one point to share, for to give hope for people. Say, you know, sometimes you can still do something even though you're not have access to that type, that level of study. That's what I would probably do. You know, my daughter, actually, she never knew about what I did at school until she got to the university. That's something I didn't want to share with her. And she told me, she said, you should have. Because it would have, first, I'm really proud of you, and well, it shows that you can do something.
You're back to traveling now?
Not yet, but soon.
What do you miss about travel? Why do you want to get on a plane at Trudeau Airport?
Well, of course, it's to see other sight, go to other city, meet people. That social approach, I mean, we have it in Montreal, actually. We can do it, but to go back, traveling Canada, so big country and very nice country, be able to go back Vancouver, Calgary, and all those big city, and of course travel to open your mind to other culture and be able to relax and not think about the work anymore, because it's been something that has been filling my life for the past 25 months.
What country do you want to visit as a holiday place?
Definitely Italy. By the way, I'm going back soon.
Oh, so you've been there before then?
Oh, yes. Many times.
What do you love about Italy?
I don't know. It's the people, the feeling. When I get there, I feel like I'm at home, even though I'm not speaking Italian at all. But I just feel like I'm free. the mentality is quite different, where people are taking it easy at some point. Where I feel here, well, I'll, in our kind of business, everything is rush, 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 now, now, now. You get there, it's, I don't know, take your time, have a glass of wine, eat good food. You can talk with people even though you're not speaking the language. And it's so much of a beautiful country. I mean, from north to south, everywhere it's different. And I really like it.
This is the CEO Series. Andre, thank you for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, our producer, Youssef Sahani, and our scriptwriter, Stephanie Ruchet. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. I look for Shannon.